So we're going to get into institutionalism tonight. Now, did I say this is going to be the last? I tell you what. I noticed in my outlines, I do have another class after this. And it's kind of important. It's not one that you're unfamiliar with, but it goes along with what we're dealing with. It is actually a lesson on authority, but specifically expediency. And you've heard many lessons on that over the years, but the reason it's important, and, you know, it's been years since I put all this material together. I'm just guessing that I probably used it last, because there's a lot of the things that brethren do, they just throw it into the category of an expediency. The orphan homes are an expediency. The missionary society was just an expediency. And so they push that a lot in debates and things. So we'll look at that. And why is it that institutions aren't simply expediency? And so that will be the final lesson that we deal with. But we have a lot to cover here with institutionalism. And some of this we've already seen. But remember, when we got started, we were emphasizing the division among brethren. It is and continues to be sad that there is division among members of churches of Christ, and that there are some local congregations that we cannot in good conscience fellowship. And again, it is something that probably it will never change. I'm no prophet, but I can predict it all these years later that it's not going to change. Only thing we can do is change individuals one-on-one, one individual at a time. But there's a lot of things tied in to our differences that probably there'll never be a wholesale change. And it again, we saw that it was in the 50s and 60s that all this started to happen, at least the divisions that we're familiar with. And I should mention that it was in 1957 where, and this is kind of important, I don't know that it would have ultimately have changed things, but it was in 1957 when the editor of the Gospel Advocate declared that there should be a yellow tag of quarantine upon antiques. And what that means is, as these things started to develop, and we were having discussions, brethren were having discussions about these very issues that we have talked about all these weeks. It was the liberal brethren who decided that they should have no fellowship with us, not the other way around. That may be a minor point, but it is worth mentioning, because over the years that has been kind of clouded, and most believe that somehow it's because of the stubbornness of non-institutional brethren that we have this division. If you all would just give up your pettiness, we could have fellowship. But in reality, it is a fact that they're the ones who decided that they could not have fellowship with us. In fact, I know personally of preachers who were kicked out of their homes. You know, the houses that were owned by the church, that they, like I, you all know Leon Goff, he, during all of this, they gave him a week to get out of the house, like 1 week. And so that's how hostile it became. But it was conservative brethren who were being fired from churches and being sent away again pretty quickly. So now again, does that make a big difference? No. And ultimately, we would have to have withdrew our fellowship anyway. But the point of it is, you know, you don't want to do that quickly. You want to engage in conversation and discussion and reason together and try to work things out. And it was still very early on, again, 1957. It was still very early on where maybe some things could have changed. Some things could have been decided, but they decided publicly, again, that they ought to quarantine aunties. And so there you have it. Well, very quickly, read this statement from Bill Humble, Story of the Restoration. He said, the most serious issue that churches of Christ have faced in this century is church cooperation, institutionalism. Led by Roy Cogdell, Yeter Tant, and the Gospel Guardian, a substantial number of churches have some to oppose such cooperative programs as evangelism, as the Herald of Truth, and the Homes for Orphans and the Aged as they are presently organized. During the past 15 years, many debates have been held. Churches have divided and fellowship has been broken. This is the most serious division number-wise that churches of Christ have suffered. Whether the division is final or whether it can be healed is yet to be determined. And, of course, that was, I don't know what year that was, but it was many years ago, and we know now it was final. And there was never any healing process. And so we have this division among us. But it all centers around institutionalism. What is institutionalism? It is the practice of building and financially maintaining or subsidizing different institutions to do the work of the local church. And that's what divides us. And there's two parts. I can't remember if I had this up on the screen. If I did, it was just quickly the end of the lesson last week. But I want you to see that when it comes to institutionalism, there's two problems, not one. The first problem is building and financially maintaining or subsidizing different institutions, putting them in the budget, sending money to them, and so supporting them that way. That's problem number one. And that is the problem that made division inevitable. But it wasn't the only problem. The second problem was the doing of the work of the church. And that's what we need to remember today. That any organization doing the work of the church is contrary to God's will. He has an organization to do the work of the church. It's the local church. And God has given the local church work to do. We already know. We've already spent lessons. We know what that work is. It was given exclusively to the church. So far as an organization is concerned, I'll modify that just a little bit as we go on. But so far as an organization goes, no other organization should do the work of the church. And that is true regardless of financing. And so hopefully you'll be able to see that. What the issue is and is not, I think we did look at this in the beginning, but let me remind you, it's not should the churches do its work. It is not how the churches does its work. The issue is who should do the work. The works of evangelism and benevolence, limited benevolence and edification. Who should do it? That's the issue. Always has been, always will be. It's what divides us. Never the work itself. It's not even methods. Like, there's different ways we can do the work of the church, but like with everything, it has to be authorized. It can't violate any scripture, particularly autonomy. But that has never really been the issue, how the church does its work. It is who does the work. So we've seen what the work of the church is, and when it comes down then to institutionalism, first of all, we talk, you have the missionary society, and so liberal brethren, institutional brethren, decided that they would do the work of the church through that missionary society. The missionary society would have its board of directors, have those in charge of it, their bylaws and all of that. They would decide who they were going to send the money to, choose the preacher and where he's going to preach and all of that. That would be decided by the missionary society. Churches simply sent money to them, and they took it over. The same thing with benevolence. In that, we're talking about orphan homes, widow homes, hospitals, even those kind of institutions or organizations that they were using, again, built them to do a wide-scale benevolent work. When it comes down to edification, we're talking primarily about colleges. And so there are many colleges, even today, that the churches even now continue to send money to support and to maintain. And let me say this about the colleges, just quickly, because I don't want there to be any misunderstanding, and so I hope I'm making myself clear. But you got to pay attention. When it comes down to colleges, I'm not opposed to colleges. There were some brethren way back in the day who opposed the very existence of colleges. I don't oppose colleges. I do not oppose colleges teaching a Bible course. Colleges do that. Colleges, when it comes down to training those who perhaps want to preach or be involved in some kind of missionary work or whatever, that's what colleges do. Like if someone wants to plumb, they teach them to plumb. If that was all that a college does, then all right, I have no problem with that. I have a right to exist. It's when they get into the work of the church. It's when they start trying to win souls. When they start trying to evangelize. Now they're going beyond their realm, and really beyond the realm that they were created to perform, the function that they were created for. And so I don't want you to think, well, Don Wright opposes colleges. Colleges shouldn't exist. No, I don't take that position. And not too many conservative brethren do. When it comes down to lectureships, when it comes down to preaching the gospel, that's a different issue. But they have a right to teach courses because that's what they do. That's not the work of the church per se. It's evangelism that is the work of the church. So let's see how all this works. What is the local church? The local church, we know Philippians 1:1, made up of elders, deacons, and saints. It's divine in origin. Christ is the head. It's blood bought, so it's divine from that standpoint. The New Testament is the only bylaw that it has, the only creed that it possesses. And it has elders who oversee. They have delegated authority from Christ to rule over the flock. So that is God's divine institution. It is clear in outline. And if there's enough detail involved to it where we know this is God's plan, the local church. And so the work that he wants done from an organization, it's his organization. But the local church is divine. We ought to be passionate about the local church and very defensive for the local church and it doing its work, making sure it does the work God has given it to do and making sure no one else does it. Like you shouldn't be talked into that. You should feel a passion for that. Because it's God's divine organization. Jesus built the church, of course. He purchased it, did it with his blood. And so we ought to respect God's way and God's will. So, is the local church sufficient? And the answer is yes. But from the beginning, brethren have said no. Alexander Campbell said a church can do what an individual disciple cannot. And so can a district of churches do what a single congregation cannot. Now, when you start hearing language like that, a district of churches, what one word comes to your mind? Denominationalism. That is what denominationalism is. You've heard me say it 100 times. A denomination is a church of churches. They're not a denomination just because it teaches false doctrine. Denominations teach false doctrine, but that's not what makes it a denomination. What makes it a denomination is that it is a district of churches. And here's Alexander Campbell. Why? Because he came out of denominationalism, and while he made great progress and did many wonderful things that we should appreciate, he's not our head. We're not followers of him. You are not a Campbellite or anything like that. I hope you shouldn't be. And people accuse us of that. But he didn't establish the church. People in denominations say he built the church. He's the founder of the Church of Christ. No, he is not. And we know that. We can prove that. The church was here even in America long before he ever came to America. And so that's just not true. And there's some positions he took that we would, that many of us would disagree with. He brought this denominational concept into the church when he came. A district of church, he says. And then I think we read a part of this in our first lesson, but we met not for the purpose of enacting ecclesiastic laws, not to interfere with the true and scriptural independence of churches, but to consult about the best ways for giving efficiency to our power and to devise such methods of cooperation in the great work of converting and sanctifying the world as our combined councils under the guidance of providence might suggest and approve. Again, very denominational language. You start talking about councils and things of that nature. But you can even tell right away they're sensitive to the idea of autonomy. We didn't come together for the purpose of that. But then he goes on to say there are some duties of the church which a single congregation cannot by her unaided strength discharge. That's saying the local church is insufficient. And it is suggesting then that there has to be a form of cooperation that's going to end up being just what Alexander Campbell said, a district of churches. It's going to end up doing denominational things in denominational ways. And that's not almost, that's exactly what ended up coming about. So, the local church is sufficient. We could get many more quotes there of brethren saying, no, it's not, but it is sufficient. It can do the work that God has given it to do. A local church can do evangelism. Any local church can engage in evangelism. And so what does that mean? It can provide place, equipment, preacher, whatever it needs for its evangelism. Local churches are equipped and can do that. Don't need help from others. Don't need contribution from other churches to preach the gospel. Local churches can do that. When it comes down to benevolence, local churches can provide place, food, supervision, etc. for benevolence. There's nothing wrong with that at all. If the need arose, we could take one of our widows and put that widow in a home. We could provide a place, and there'd be nothing wrong with that, because we're doing benevolent work with regard to that sister. That's different than putting some widow's home in the budget, which is exactly what churches were doing. They were sending money to orphan homes and widow homes. They didn't have any members in those homes. It was just a part of their work. And so they were just supporting and maintaining an institution to do the work of benevolence. That's unscriptural. It doesn't follow the pattern. But a local church can take care of its own widows, whatever the need may be. And when it comes down to edification, it's the same thing. Provide place, equipment, teachers. Remember we said with edification, our primary source of edification is our assemblies. And so here we are. We're in a place. We have generic authority for that. We're commanded not to forsake the assembly. We have to have a place to assemble. Equipment. I've had people call me up on the radio and say, well, Don, you have PowerPoint. Well, where's the authority for your microphone? And, you know, just people get silly. And we because they don't understand the nature of both generic authority and the expediencies that we'll talk about next time. It'll be a couple weeks before we meet again. But we'll deal with expediency. And a lot of the things that we use to get the job done are expediencies. But an expediency cannot change the nature of the work. It can just aid in the work. Once it changes the nature of the work, it's not expedient. It's unlawful and therefore sinful. But we'll break all that down in our final lesson. But we can, a local church can provide a place, equipment, PowerPoint or whatever, pulpit to preach, whatever, teachers to teach and to edify, to build up. And so the local church can do all of that. It can do its own work. What aspect of the work of the church can the local church not do? And the answer is none. It can do it all. Therefore, we don't need institutionalism. We don't need institutions. But brethren came along and they decided that they could make it more efficient. And it reminds me, I'm going to preach a sermon on this sometime. It reminds me of passages like Isaiah 30, when the Israelites wanted to go get the help of the Egyptians. And God is like, really? Did I tell you you can do that? Did you consult me or my word with regard to that? No, they just thought that, you know, God had his way of working things out and protecting them. They thought they had a better way. They thought going to Egypt for help, oh, that's the best way, that's the best route to go. And that's what brethren have done with the work of the church. Oh, this is a better way to get the job done. Is it? Can you come up in any area, if God has a way, can you come up with a better way than his? Because this is God's way. It's clearly seen. But institutional brethren decided to do it like this. We'll build a society. It'll have its corporate body. It's human in origin. It'll have human laws, bylaws they have to go through. It will be controlled not by elders, but by a board of directors. And we'll just send money constantly to that society. And that society can preach the gospel and people will be saved. Be real nice and neat and efficient. That's the way we'll do it. What's the problem? By now you should know. What's the problem? Not authorized. There's no pattern for it. There's no scriptures for it. And one thing, again, as members of Churches of Christ, we should never, ever be ashamed that we demand book, chapter, and verse for the things that we do. I know sometimes you can get weary with regard to that. That's why sometimes preachers start to bend and compromise. I'm tired of being a part of the minority. Let's just do things the way everyone else is doing. We have to follow the pattern. Because the pattern marks God's way, and his way is always best. And so, in all of these different things, it doesn't matter what the organization is, the Missionary Society was the first one, but then came the other situations. But they're all the same. Human in origin, controlled by a board of directors. And so you have even today orphan homes and widow homes and those kinds of things. And then, of course, you have the Christian colleges. And it's just amazing now, like you take Abilene Christian College. Most brethren are ashamed of them now. And they're still very strong. And there's a lot of preaching friends of mine, older, got a degree from there. You know, before all of these issues were hashed out, a lot of conservative brothers attended some of these colleges. But then, you know, you learn better, you do better. And so, but now, Abilene Christian College supports homosexuality. They have anything against that. Divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, they're just way liberal on that. And just their liberal brethren are ashamed of them. But that's what happens when all you do is send money. Well, we'll let them do the edification. We let them do all of this work, and we just send them money. They're in our budget and good, and now we can say, look at the good work we're doing. But when they get out of control, then now you have a problem. And a lot of those the colleges are out of control. They support women preaching and having roles of authority in local churches, you know, all that sort of stuff. But once you just take note of the fact, once you go down the road to liberality, it just gets worse as time goes on. I told you in the beginning, we're probably never going to be reconciled with liberal brethren. One reason is because the differences that divided us in the beginning, now those different, that gap in the difference is huge now. Now you have men, you know, you had men even back then like Ruby Shelby and Ed Fudge. Remember, I put him up on the screen, and he was conservative, and then he went liberal, then he just went out of his mind. But then you have Max Licato and, you know, those kind of ultra-liberal brethren. And they have introduced things that again, a lot of liberal churches are even ashamed of. I want you to think about this like this. Here's the wisdom of God. He commanded Noah to build an ark. And we're all very familiar with that. Just real simple. We've used this illustration with denominationalism for years, and you've heard me preach on that. I have never, ever had anyone, whatever issue I'm dealing with, I use the ark and Noah. I have never had someone come back to me and say, you know, that's a head scratcher. Like with authority and specific authority and generic authority and all of that, it's just very simple. God commanded Noah to build the ark, told him to use gopher wood. He had to use gopher wood. Oak wood was out of the question. He may have been surrounded by oak trees. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Gopher wood could have been some obscure tree. It may have been hard to get. It doesn't matter. God said gopher wood. He had to use gopher wood. God specified. And remember, specific authority is exclusive in nature. It excludes everything else. But as you just look at this, here's the wisdom of God. Noah built an ark. So Noah, what did he do? He built an ark. Real simple. What about this? Would this been okay? The wisdom of men. Noah built the ark. All right, God, I will. I'm just going to build me an ark-building society and give them money and let them build the ark. How many of you would think that would work? That'd been okay? You think God would have said, oh, that's all right, Noah. No problem. I don't care. As long as the ark gets built, you just do it any way you want to. You want to pay someone else to do it? Go ahead. No, that's the wisdom of men. And it's easily seen. And you can see that. I know every one of you can see that. That's not right. You say, no, he couldn't have done that. God would have been displeased with that. That's exactly the institutional issue. Just with a simple example. Except for building the ark, we're talking about the work of the church. We cannot simply build an organization to do the work that God gave us to do. That's the wisdom of men. He thinks it's better, thinks it's more efficient, thinks it will get the job done, but it won't. We have to do things God's way. And one thing that I'll point out is back in, and you can read all of these debate books and things and arguments that the liberals would make. And one thing that they would say is this: the church is not a home. And so it can't act like a home. It can't be a home. That's why we have to build these orphan homes, because these people need homes and the church can't be that. And so we have the right to build the home. Well, is the church a home? No. And, orphans, do they need homes? Yes. But it's not the work of the church. The local churches can provide or buy services from institutions. That's what I was talking about earlier, except for with the widow. Churches can do that. That's totally different from building, subsidizing, maintaining some organization. We can buy, we buy services from people all the time to do our work. We're doing the work, we're just buying a service. But we're not going to, if we want to send mail out, we're not going to build a post office, are we? Do you not see the difference in using a post office and it provides us a service and building a post office and subsidizing it? Of course you can see the difference in that. And so that's what, again, that liberal brethren want to do. They want to build the society, the organization, to provide the shelter. But where's the scripture for that? You know, what's very interesting is this, that all of this is a shifting of responsibility. God has given the local church a work to do. Let's just do it. When we create an institution to do it, we're shifting our responsibility. But what's interesting is the institutional brethren do it twice. Remember this? We talked about this. They like to use James 1 and Galatians 6 to authorize the sponsoring church and all that. But we look at those passages, if you remember. It's dealing with individuals, not churches. Liberal brothers say, no, it's dealing with churches. So churches can relieve and do good to all people. Churches can do that. So they shift the responsibility from the individual to the local church. But then they want to build a benevolent society. So they shifted from the local church to the benevolent society to finally get around to the business of caring and feeding and clothing and sheltering. Shifting of responsibility. Why not just do it God's way? As a local church, do the work that God has given us to do. Now, we have just a few more minutes. Let's put this back on the screen. And I do have one more lesson, as I told you, so I may. There's some things I want to discuss with regard to this. Remember, I emphasize there's two problems. It's the second problem that we need to be aware of today, that it is an institution doing the work of the church. What we were dealing with before are churches using their money, their treasury, the Lord's money, to build these things. And that's why that was the thing that was emphasized the most in the debates and discussions and whenever we talked about it. But if you go back and really study the issue, you'll find that wasn't the only issue that was being discussed. Non-institutional brethren had a problem with institutions, period. And they should have. They should have. Because what if we did it, let's just do it like this. You have the local church up there. Let's just take and just deal with the church. Remove that local church. Remember, the universal church is made up of what? Of people. Of individuals. Now, if you've been paying attention, I have tried to emphasize that the thing that is wrong is an institution doing the work of the church. Brethren come along and say, you believe the local church is the only thing that can do evangelism? No. We just oppose another institution other than God's institution doing it. But individual Christians can do all of that. An individual Christian can evangelize. An individual Christian can do benevolent work. An individual Christian can be involved in edification, because individual Christians make up the universal church. It's still the church, but it's the individual doing it. When you look in the Bible with regard to the three ways that Christians are spoken of, here's a good passage that deals with it. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. All right? So there's an individual Christian acting. And individual Christians can act in carrying out God's will. Or, he said, if he listens to you, great, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. So, Christians can do things together. I can go out and decide, okay, I'm going to go to the Philippines and I'm going to preach the gospel there. I can also say, hey, Jesse, you want to go to the Philippines with me? We'll go and preach the gospel. And we can do it together. And we see that. I mean, here in this passage, we see you take some other Christians with you. Now you have a group of Christians, small group, but still a group of Christians acting. Then he says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. There's another distinction. Now you have the local church. So all three of those situations can engage in the work of the church. What can't do the work of the church is an organization other than God's organization. That's institutionalism. And that's what we oppose. So, let's just say then, what if it looked like this? You had these individuals, just individuals, one or group, that are going to send money to a human organization, and that human organization is going to evangelize. Now, you're not talking about using the Lord's money to do that. Is that okay? Everybody shake your head this way. Why? Because that organization doing the work of the church is not authorized to do that. So the point of it, I'll have to further this next time. We'll talk a little more about it. But it's not good enough. You can't say, well, we can use this organization as long as it's not in the church budget. Wrong. That's not the only issue. The issue, remember, is who does the work? Who is to do the work? It has to be the church, either the local church or an individual Christian or a group of Christians working together, cooperating to do the work of the church, not another organization. It cannot be that. Once it is, it becomes sinful. And I don't care what the organization is. So you get your questions ready, and we'll talk about that next week briefly, and then we'll get into expediency. But I want you to get that in. It doesn't matter. You know, over the years, we've talked basically about three things, about camps and colleges and publishing companies. Is it okay for them to do the work of the church as long as the church isn't sending money to them? Too many brethren think yes. The answer is no. Because an organization other than the local church isn't authorized to do the work of the church, period. We should all be on the same page with that. We should be of one mind with that. Because if anything unauthorized is wrong. And we should. So we'll look at that in greater detail and maybe take 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes to deal with that, and then look at expediencies and then look home. Appreciate your time.